You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Rob Garrett, independent curator from Poland. Rob, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks very much for the invitation to speak with you.
So let's talk about what you're doing now and exactly where are you in Poland?
Well, I suppose I'm in Poland's little strip of paradise. I'm up on the Baltic coast, living in Sopot, which is sandwiched between the two port cities of Gdynia and Gdansk. And I live in a beautiful setting in amongst hilly forests and literally 5 minutes drive from white sand beaches. And the beach beckons me after we've talked. So really enjoying this part of Poland. I moved here about a year ago and before then had been living in New Zealand. So this is it's a great part of the world to be, actually.
And what is it that you're working on now in terms of, you know, curating and your practice?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of preparing for Public Art Biennial, which is held in Christchurch in October this year. And Christchurch, many people may remember that Christchurch suffered some very dramatic and tragic earthquakes about 4 years ago. And I was invited by SCAPE Public Art Organization, which has been in the city for 17 years now. And I was invited by them to curate their eighth public art. This comes in a period of the city when there's still actually quite a lot of physical evidence of those earthquakes. Quite a bit of devastation took place, and many people's homes are still in the process of being rebuilt and reestablished. The central city was 80% destroyed or demolished as a result of the earthquakes. And there's a period of rebuild going on now, and the biennial is quite a small biennial. It's focused on site-specific public artworks. We've commissioned seven artists for new projects, and we're doing some public participation projects as well. And it's focused on getting people into the central city again. There's not much reason to be there at the moment because there's not many offices that have been rebuilt yet. There's very little residential building survived in the central city, and that's still some way off as well. So it's a very, very interesting time to be working in a city on a project like a biennial, where we're saying, well, what are the kinds of art projects that can be sensitive and responsive to that particular moment in the city, and how can a public art festival, if you like, this biennial lasts for 6 weeks. How can we create a very, very attractive proposition for locals to be drawn back into the central city and to begin to reconnect with the place that they call home? So that's what I'm in the middle of now. I've been working on this for about a year, and we've announced the artists, and we're about to begin describing some of the projects that will take place there. But we've looked at a range of artists to involve, from those who are deeply invested in the history of the city because they've lived there for a long time. So we have a Maori artist, Nathan Pohio, who is a member of the local tribe, Ngāi Tahu and Kati Maumoe and Waitaha, three of the local tribes of the Christchurch and Canterbury area. And he'll be doing a work that responds in many ways to the cultural and historic layerings of the city. I think that one of the things we noticed with residents and visitors alike, and I think anybody who has lived or visited a place that has suffered massive destruction, one of the issues is that people, even though they were familiar with the former place, can't remember what was on this particular corner or what was on this street. This issue of amnesia caused by a disaster such as this. So there's a great desire to reconnect, and it's a great opportunity to tap into even longer-term memories around the place and maybe expose some of the forgotten stories as well as some of the things that were familiar landmarks even, you know, 4 years ago. And Christchurch was originally built on a swamp, and so it's always been, and it's very, very close to sea level, so it's always had a very, very close relationship to a river that runs through it. The tidal estuaries at its coastline, it has long white sand beaches on its coastline as well. Some areas of the city have been prone to flooding as well through this geographic history. But with the earthquakes, this became even more of an issue. There was liquefaction, which is which is the liquefying of sediments underneath the ground that came up to the surface through the earthquake. Some parts of the city actually dropped as a result of the earthquake, and so they're even below the water table now. Other parts of the city were raised. So this relationship to water was also important, and we've commissioned Pauline Rhodes, who is probably one of New Zealand's most senior site-specific temporary installation landscape artists, who has had a long, long history with the city as well. She's lived here in Christchurch. She unfortunately lost her studio and her home during the earthquakes, and therefore also lost most of her archive of all of her temporary works. We commissioned her to do a new work, and she's really interested in water flows and people's new relationship to water and what is invisible, often out of mind for people. Well, it's people are very conscious of what's below the ground now in Christchurch, so that's going to be a very exciting project as well. So that's a little bit of the local flavour that's coming through, and I think what's interesting for me is this question of if a biennial can in some modest way contribute to the long term rebuild of the city, can it contribute in some way to people's long term attachment to the city? That's one of the aims.
Well, it's very interesting because in a way that's a very, as I'm sure you know, a very contemporary notion. Artists more and more, it seems that curatorial practices more and more are talking about how the artists interact with the audiences or how the audience is going to interact. And I don't mean specifically interactive sculpture or installations, but more and more open calls seem to be asking for how will the public interact with what you're doing. And in your case, of Christchurch, it seems that this is a biennial that specifically is geared to something that's so socio geographic or socio political, or I'm not sure exactly what the term is, but it's something of a transformative event in this culture. Normally, even I would think Venice, the Whitney, biennials all over the world, these are big art events, but they often don't have a direct impact on the culture. And in this case, it seems like it would be a very kind of emotional and psychological impact because it's all so recent, right?
Yes, I think so. I think, of course, the danger is to do an art event that isn't mindful of the lived experience of people in the city. And I think in many ways, as a curator, I was thinking that the biennial, what makes sense for this biennial is if we think its primary audience are people who live and work in Christchurch. I think the art audience in New Zealand will come anyway, almost regardless of what you did, they would come. And so you've got their attention already. So the primary audience is, well, what could we do that is going to resonate and actually feel useful, beneficial, enjoyable, stimulating, thought-provoking for locals? And I think in many parts of the city, residential areas were unaffected. They were built on relatively earthquake-proof or earthquake-resistant, stable ground. But large parts of the city were in a very, very dire strait. So in fact, even though it's 4 years, some people are still struggling to get their houses rebuilt or the insurance for their houses sorted out. And so this, for them, there's a very pressing, immediate, physical lifestyle needs. These are not... So in that sense, we had to be very careful that we did something that was authentic and sensitive to that regard rather than just indifferent to that. Another thing is, aspirationally, as I said, many people are not using the city centre. Most of the entertainment activities moved out into the suburbs. There's very few venues that are available in the city. Very few people work in the central city. But there's a lot of debate about how the city will be rebuilt. And I, from an aspirational point of view, I think that citizens can't be very active in that debate unless they occupy the central city, unless they are there on a regular basis and have a language to debate and to reflect on what is already happening and how it might be. So I think this is one of the ways that art can contribute in a social realm. It can contribute with an audience because art has the potential to remind people of the power of the imagination, of the power of an unfettered imagination that says, well, what might be? And I think what we've seen in Christchurch is that even though people aren't coming into the central city on a regular basis, they are coming in for events. And they're coming in, they have a desire to be in the central city for large events, and they will come in their thousands. So Scape is providing one catalyst for that. And I think because it's an art event, providing a catalyst for that has the potential to enable people to say, well, yes, this is striking and amazing, and I would like the city to be whatever, to be something, to have them feeling attached and in a sense of ownership about the future of the city. There's been some concern by residents that they've been maybe sidelined in some of the planning around the city. So it's a desire to get feet on the ground and their hearts and minds attached to the future of the city through being there on occasions. I think another thing that concerned me was around the scale of works. I think that having works that are visually attractive and very appealing, that are visible from a distance, is one of those things that mitigates the sense of disorientation in a landscape that has largely become denuded of buildings. So this idea of being drawn towards a part in the city 50 metres ahead or 100 metres ahead because you see something eye-catching, the vibrancy of colour and form that contrasts with this rather grey city environment. And so large and colourful might be a feature of this biennial, but not too large because I'm also mindful of the fact that in this environment, if you do something that's too large, it can look ostentatious. When somebody's trying to sort out the drainage and their leaky home because of the earthquake 4 years after the earthquake, art could make, I think, the awful blunder of looking wasteful and frivolous and ostentatious. So this question of visibility and scale is an interesting one for me to work through with the artists and to think about artists who have a great sensitivity around this. One of the artists that we're working with is Anthony Gormley, and many people will be familiar with his large-scale and projects, and sometimes they're large-scale because there might be 100 life-size figures, or sometimes they're gigantic figures. And he and I agreed very, very early on that we needed something that was very human scale, that was quite intimate for Christchurch, to give people a sense of real personal human scale connection. And you commented on this interest in public interaction and the feelings of the audience. And I suppose one of my interests in working in the public realm is that, for me, the success of an artwork is, there's always two halves. There's choosing an artist who is going to do something inspiring and unexpected and that's well attuned to the environment. But the second half is the audience response. And I think that this makes the art. It's those two parts, the two components are always there. And I think for me, there's a maybe predisposed towards working in this way because I started out as a performance and installation artist myself, and I taught for many years. And I think that in those, working with high school students and then later working with Art Academy students, but also having an art practice background in the public realm, maybe predisposes me to working in site-specific projects that somehow are aimed at connecting people in new and refreshing ways to a place that they may already be familiar with.
Yeah, that's such an important and in a way complex task. You know, I remember in New York, and I think most of the people who are listening to this may know, but the earthquake, of course, that we're talking about happened in 2011 in Christchurch, which is an area, a large city of New Zealand. But I think that when that happened in New York, everything that happened in the biennial the next year was read through the lens of that kind of local devastation. New York was still reeling from it. It was a very different situation than what you're dealing with. But there was some kind of local trauma happening. And And I remember one critic saying, you know, this one artist is doing paintings of sailboats, and, you know, is that a 9/11 painting? And he said it is. You know, people are trying to find different ways to be at peace or to cope, whatever that means, to manage everything that they're managing. So, you know, you're building a biennial in a situation that seems like it's much more sensitive than what most curators would be dealing with in any biennial. Your issues are not just aesthetic, as you're saying. You're dealing with all kinds of sensitivities, and at the same time wanting to support people in the rebuilding of their city.
Right? Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's particularly for locals. No matter what event it is, they will read it through some sort of very specific contextual lens. They'll bring their own experience of their community and their place as a frame to view the event through. And, you know, as you say, in New York and now in Christchurch, and we can think of other places around the world, it's a very dramatic lens to view the work through. But I think it's very exciting because it's very challenging in terms of values and intellect to work in this environment. And I've got a lot of faith in the artists that I'm working with, and you use your past experience. But as I said, because the audience brings so much to bear on the work, I'm really looking forward to October and to observing and listening to audiences interact with the work and with the collection of works as well, and to see how they respond to it. I think that with this too, I felt that there was some story when I was invited and made some research trips, although I was familiar with Christchurch and visited it many, many times, was not so familiar firsthand with Christchurch since the earthquake. So I made a couple of research trips and listening and talking with people. Felt there was another strand that could be explored, which was the way communities band together to help each other, and the way post-disaster, this was very visible and very evident. There were student armies, there were farmers' armies that came into the city to help clean up, and it was all over the media. But in fact, this is a feature of every community, every functioning, coherent community. Individuals are helping, neighbors are helping neighbors, friends are helping friends. Just when somebody needs the help, someone else is strong enough on that day to provide the help. But very often this goes, this sits beneath the surface. It's not often public and talked about. And I'm thinking about how to honor this ongoing dimension, because the community is very, very stressed, but it's also proved itself to be very resilient, and a lot of that resilience comes through the way people have helped each other. And, of course, the people who are the helpers don't want to talk about it, and the people who are being helped want to find some avenue to celebrate it, and there aren't many avenues to celebrate it. There's a wonderful organization in the city that is partly funded by the health department and by the district health board. It's called the All Right ? All Right, as if, are we all right? And it's a health and well-being organization, and it's been doing a lot of campaigns and doing some research and finding out what the particular needs of the Christchurch are. And I thought, well, I wanted to talk with them, and I had an idea that we could set up an open platform for people to share their own stories of others who'd been helpful, and thought of this coming from a visual arts background, thought, well, what if people uploaded just a photograph of somebody they knew who had been really helpful, under this idea of that people share their strengths. So in fact, this well-being organization, All Right, thought it was a great idea. They partnered with us on this, and so we've called this hashtag That Time You Helped, and we'll be launching this in a couple of months to invite members of the public just to upload their own photographs, maybe a tagline or a story as well. We've done some beta testing, and already that's proving that this, you know, resonates with people. So this will be one of the projects where creative control is really in the hands of the community. It's a full public participation project. The primary platform will be Instagram, and even for those who don't know how to use it, we'll have a team who will just even upload analog photographs if that's what's applied. So be very interesting to see how that is responded to.
It will be interesting. It sounds like a beautiful project. You know, in one sense, I'm thinking that the context that this is happening in, you know, raises the question of what is even the importance of art, right? When there's, you know, disasters like that, everything is all resources are attuned to what's happening, you know, for the support of the survivors and rebuilding. And it's, you know, in recent discussions, I've heard, you know, grant committees and different people pitting monies, certainly in the United States, monies for, let's say, social services, you know, against the arts. What's more important? And obviously that's a, you know, an argument that in some ways doesn't really make sense. They're both enormously important, but in situations like the one that you're in, I would think that's part of the issue. You know, we need to rebuild the city. Why art at all? And I would think that's a challenge, and in a way it's being met by this, something like this hashtag project or others, because art now is something that's truly transformational, and it normally isn't. It could be decorative or conceptual or intellectually stimulating or all these kind of things, but for it to actually be something that's there to reach a community and have a social and really political effect is extremely unusual, don't you think?
It is. Yes, it is. This is really put a lens on that possibility as well. Look at Christchurch. What I want to say is that there's other cultural activity already, visualized cultural activity happening as well. So this biennial is looking at how it can complement what's already happening. One of the remarkable things in Christchurch since the earthquake is there's been a flowering of mural art. There's been some artists and organizations in the city that have been commissioning mural art, and they received some really strong support from the Arts Council and the local city council for this. Christchurch had not been known as a city of mural art. And what's interesting is that the non-art audience, the general public audience response, has been really positive, because this mural art has been taking place primarily in the central city, where, as I said, 80% of the city was demolished. So there were a lot of exposed building walls with just street-level gravel vacant lots next to them. So, and the general public's response has been, well, thank goodness for the murals, because it shows that the city is still alive.
Mm.
And so this was not just seen primarily as an art thing. It was seen as expressing the very vitality of the city, even though it looked like a ruin and a wilderness. And it's been really important for morale. And there have been a lot of temporary art and beautification projects. There was an organization, a little startup organization called Greening the Rubble, and they've simply taken little demolished corner lots and put temporary gardens in and seating. Another called Gap Filler, another organization which has been doing interactive and semi-sculptural projects in vacant lots as well. They set up an interactive dance mat where you could just go and plug in your music and dance in the open, surrounded by your music. So these things have been really attractive to people. And what's very interesting is the locals have said, now we're worried, because these things are called temporary. Does that mean we won't have them when the city's finished or when it's rebuilt? So there's a great, for many people, there's a great sense of the balance that you're talking about. It's quite a natural balance. We need all of these things. And very often we aren't put in the position where the ground has so dramatically shifted from under us in such a wholesale way. You know, particularly in urban environments, the changes are gradual and incremental. And suddenly when there's such dramatic change and it feels like the city is having to start from scratch, that sense of what's really important is put under a spotlight. And it's very interesting that what was seen as important, as you suggested, is the art alongside getting the drainage working. Both were seen as important by locals.
That certainly makes sense. You know, I've never been in an earthquake, but I would imagine the idea of the ground moving beneath your feet and being potentially unstable and all this beneath the ground that now is sort of suspect or unknown is enormously upsetting, because this is the one thing that we kind of rely on, right? The earth is stable. The ground is stable. Everything else may not be, but at least the earth is, right?
Absolutely.
So that's quite a situation to work in. It's really been a pleasure talking with you, and a very, very exciting project that you're working on, and it must be tremendously fulfilling as a curator. I mean, amongst all your other projects, but this one seems to really stand out as something that is rather extraordinary because of the fact that it's helping so many people and having such psychological and emotional reactions that are important and necessary and helpful to the entire community.
Well, it certainly feels that way to me as well. And I think that, you know, the artists that I approached, every one of them said yes right from the get-go. So because they felt that this was also an extraordinary opportunity and quite a humbling opportunity for them and me to have. And as I said before, I'm really looking forward to seeing and witnessing for myself how locals and who live and work in Christchurch feel about what we're offering them and what they get out of that and what they can contribute to that as well.
Rob, thanks so much for talking with us today. It's really been a pleasure, and I wish you the very best with this biennial. Thanks so much for doing it and for talking with us today.
Well, thanks very much again for the invitation. It was a real pleasure talking with you too.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.